This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. Welcome to the program. It is good to have you along today. As we talk about hospice services, the Hospice of Evangelical is about to start a training in the fall, and they're looking for volunteers. Perhaps you are someone who could help out. We'll talk about it today, and hopefully you can make that decision and be part of this organization. Kathy Paul is director of Hospice of Evangelical, and she is with us today to talk about this topic. And Kathy, we want to start just by getting a bit of a definition.
So hospice is a service that physicians typically recommend to patients that have life-limiting illnesses. Those patients either have come to a point where they've decided that they no longer want to seek curative treatment. Maybe they've been receiving treatment and the treatment is not working for them. Or maybe their disease is advanced to a point where there really isn't any option for them for treatment, whether it be medically speaking or surgical intervention. It's, like I said, for patients who have life-limiting illnesses. And the program itself is multidisciplinary. We have a medical director, a medical designee, we have registered nurses, we have a social worker who works with us, we have hospice aides, and of course we have volunteers and a chaplain. So it's a whole team approach to really helping people live their best days when they're faced with kind of that life-limiting illness.
I know hospice is often thought of as final, but there really are some clarifications we need to make about who's entering hospice and how long they may be there.
Right. So typically speaking, most of the people who come onto hospice, not all, but most of them are Medicare recipients. And so Medicare they give us stipulations on who is appropriate for the service and that sort of thing. So Medicare requires that patients should have a prognosis of 6 months or less. However, you know, no one has a crystal ball, and physicians make that estimate based on their own experiences with those diseases. But as long as the patient continues to show some sort of decline and we can continue to show that we're helping them in some fashion, they can actually remain on hospice services for multiple benefit periods. On the flip side of that, sometimes patients will come out of the hospital and receive a very grave prognosis. They'll get on hospice services and then they'll stabilize and then we'll have to discharge them from hospice.
There's another distinction we might want to make. Since hospice is sometimes a physical location, but other times it's a service which takes place in your home, correct?
Evangelical does not have an inpatient unit for hospice. We typically treat or see our patients either in their home. Some of them are in assisted living facilities. Some of them are in memory care. Some of them are in long-term care facilities. So it's really wherever the patient is within our service area.
As we mentioned earlier, there is a training coming up for volunteers through the Evangelical program, and you are looking for some help. So give us some idea of who this might be for.
Well, I think that it needs to be someone who generally and enthusiastically enjoys people and enjoys life. You know, most of the people that reach out to us that want to be volunteers are very interested in having that one-on-one connection with somebody, whether it's, you know, sitting and reading a newspaper to someone or reminiscing about their life with someone, you know. So it's they definitely need to be kind of people-oriented, which most of our volunteers are. But there's also opportunities for people who maybe aren't comfortable with that one-on-one sort of patient volunteerism. So for those people, we do offer our patients a bereavement program for 13 months after a patient passes. And some of our volunteers specifically just do that, where they will make phone calls and reach out to the family to make sure that they're doing okay, you know, reporting back to our social worker to let us know, hey, maybe this person needs a little bit more support at this time. So some of our volunteers are direct patient care volunteers. Some of them do the bereavement program, and then other ones will come into the office and help us with, you know, administrative tasks. So it really is, we try to match the volunteer up with what their interest is.
Let's talk about the time commitment, not only for the training, but for the service itself. Once you've been trained, what can we tell people to expect?
So there is no actual time requirement, like not a specified amount of time that someone has to put in. Like we don't say you have to do 4 hours a week or something like that. Generally speaking, our volunteer liaison, who is Kara Persun, she kind of looks and sees and reaches out to volunteers if they've not been active and doing anything, to kind of see, you know, are they still interested? Is there something we could be offering them, you know, that would be doable for them at that point? And, you know, they are volunteers, so they all have different things going on in their lives. As far as the volunteer training goes, it is a pretty intense class. They learn a lot, everything from, you know, what the hospice program is, what the, you know, Medicare requirements are, how to, if they're a volunteer that wants to do personal care, we provide an education that shows them how to physically care for somebody, whether it's assisting them to go to the bathroom or turning them in bed. We talk about grief and the family unit, not only just for the patients and their families, but also, you know, it's partially for how do the volunteers continue to cope when they've made a connection with a patient that maybe has passed. So it's really kind of a comprehensive orientation. Talks about the patient, talks about, you know, the family unit, how the volunteers can support the patient and the family, and how we support the volunteers and what education they can get to continue to be the best at their volunteerism while they're here with hospice.
Can you give us any of the numbers involved? How many people are in hospice? How many volunteers work with you and so forth?
I don't have a number, I don't think, for the volunteers as far as how many people they see. We typically reach about 300 families annually. And the volunteerism kind of varies, you know, based on what people want. And so I don't have a specific number for that.
And while we're talking specifically today about the evangelical hospice, this is something that's, I assume, all around the valley.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Evangelical has a hospice. UPMC has a hospice. Geisinger has a hospice. There's even some non-hospital affiliated hospices in the area. And, you know, I always tell people I'm more than happy to come and talk to you about hospice, but there's also a good website to kind of be able to shop around and get the most bang for your buck, so to speak. There's a Medicare website called Care Compare. And it compares all of the local hospices based on feedback from families on how the staff was responsive to their needs. And there's several different categories in there that they can answer. And then each hospice is given a star rating.
Kathy Paul is director of Hospice of Evangelical. She's been talking today about the program and about hospice and about what you might be able to do to be part of this. Kathy, I hope I've asked all the questions that people might have about hospice.
I think that you have asked pretty much what we hear. You know, is there a commitment? We do have some requirements. There is a tuberculosis test that they have to do. They have to have fingerprinting, the child abuse clearance, that sort of stuff, prior to taking on any sort of assignment. But those are, you know, once those are completed, that's pretty much it as far as requirements.
Hopefully we have piqued some people's interest today and gotten some support for the Evangelical Hospice and perhaps got some people thinking about volunteering. How can they contact you if they are looking for more information?
There actually is a number that they can call. That number, I can give that to you, is 570-522-2955.
Now, those volunteer trainings will begin on September 14th of this year from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then continue on the 15th from 9 to noon. That's at the Lewisburg facility at 235 Hospital Drive. It's a required two-day training, and there will be various speakers on hand to cover all aspects of hospice care and allow interested people the time they need to ask the questions and get the answers related to the care and services provided. They would like to hear from you by around Labor Day so they can get things set up to go. So again, you can give them a call or go to evanhospital.com/hospice to learn more. Kathy Paul, the director, has been our guest today on the WPGM Community Forum. Kathy, thank you for joining us, and we want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in. This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the Community Forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.